Succession number 20615, reel 1.
Fernand Davos, reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in a small village near Le Havre, called Etang-U.
Which year was this?
1921.
Did both your mother and father come from this same village?
Yes, yes, my mother and father come from the same village, yes.
What did your father do for a living?
My father had a small farm, and had a lot of trouble with his health, and shall I tell you?
Yes.
When he was young, he lost 14. He had an infection, 14 teeth, and one eye, and everything went so bad. He came to live a few miles away from the farm, and this is when the whole trouble started, because he was knocked down on by a hit and run driver, and had a broken leg, the biggest bone on his body broken. And so in those days he lay in bed for a week, and in the end a doctor came and told him he should go to hospital. And he was in hospital a farmer took him to the hospital. He was in hospital for about 2 years. And when he came home, later he managed to get a job as a brick factory. And my mother also was working, but this is when my sister was born. And also my sister died when she was 18, come home and die. And no one ever asked any question. And life was very hard. So this is why I remember as a kid we used to try to help. Like collecting wood and all sort of thing, work on a farm.
And did you go to school in the same village?
Yes, we went to school, yeah.
How old were you when you finished school?
13 years old.
And when you left school, did you get a job?
Oh yes, I had a job. I already had a job. All I wanted to do is to help my mother, because her life was hard. My mother was working on a farm. I didn't give her any, working all day, I didn't pay her. I gave her a pound of butter. The butter was 12 francs at the time, And I couldn't wait to leave school. And I left school on a Saturday morning. On a Monday, I work on a bakery, delivering bread.
So when did you first go to sea?
Yes. So and I work as a commis. So I went to Le Havre, work as a commis.
A commis
was a boy who do anything. Anything. But I wanted to go to merchant navy. And I find someone to help me. I visit a priest. Try to help me, and then I went to the company transatlantique, the liner, and had an interview. But they told me I was too young, too old to be a cabin boy, and too old to be matelots. They told me to come back when I was 18. Anyway, when I was 18, someone helped me to to go on a boat, a tanker used to go from Le Havre to North Africa. So when I was 18, one night I watched Le Havre light disappear, and I was in.
What job were you doing in the tanker?
A deckhand, we call a matelot, deckhand. And so going from Le Havre to North Africa, and in North Africa I got my first pay, which was over ten times more than I used to get on a bakery. So I sent a check to my mother, and I understand why my mother was got a check. She was,
shaking.
Yes, she never, and didn't know where to to go to a greengrocer's shop, because she was scared I was going to ask questions. And I carry on, and everything was fine, you know. And one day we went to Romania, to on the North Sea, and till when I was in Romania in May 1940, the Romanians they want to know us, change our money, and I noticed on the Romanian paper, the German, I didn't understand Romanian, but I noticed German was near Paris. I couldn't believe it. We all of us couldn't believe it. So and we come back to North Africa. To North Africa, and slowly, one day we come back to near Bordeaux, on the bay of the River Garonne. And this is when a French officer came on board, and he said, the German are not far away from here. So if I was you, go to Falmouth, to England. So this is what happened. And from Falmouth to England, the sea was full of life belt and all sort of, you know. And what I was going to say, one day a radio operator, he put a note on our mess, a small note to say we lost two frigate or something, destroyer, Dunkirk. Well, we had no radio, you see. We didn't know anything about what was going on in France. We couldn't believe it. Because, you know, we started a war. We was going to go to Bernan and teach them a lesson. And so anyway, we arrive at Falmouth. And after two, it was a lot of boat in Falmouth, Norwegian boat. We had tanker, French merchant navy, some loaded with wine, some, you know, sort of. And we waited for about 2 weeks. And been short of food. One day we got some food from Falmouth, which was very nice, was nicely packed. Do you know about the 3rd of July?
Tell me about it.
And well, the British Navy opened fire after a negotiation. They opened fire on the French Navy and Merzel Kibir. And he was 1,300 French sailors die. They opened fire because they asked the Marine Nationale to go to come with us, or go to America, you know. And Churchill gave the order. It was a very good order because we didn't know if our navy was going to go with the German. French navy was a big, strong navy, you know. So anyway, one day the Royal Navy command sees our boat, merchant navy. First, they took the we had four or five French sailors from the Marine Nationale because we had a gun on board. See, so they come and take them to. I understand they took them to Liverpool to come back to France. See, then.
What was the name of your ship?
The ship was Léon Martin. It's on the plane. Léon Martin. And then the next day they came and seized our boat. They come with the Royal Navy came with guns and one officer. And they give us 1 hour to get out.
This is in Falmouth?
Falmouth. Give us 1 hour to get out. And don't do any damage, you know. Close the portals. I didn't understand and don't do any damage. I didn't do any damage. That was, I believe, the 14th of July. So we got 1 hour to get ready. And we took a little bit of food or something and drinks. Pack a bag and send a boat for us, and we salute our boat, goodbye. Oh yeah, a day before a plane come over Falmouth, a bomber, and drop few bombs, and it was two boat. I understand it was a Greek boat who come out on fire. So I look and say, oh, if one bomber could do that damage, it's terrible. And I was on the top on the deck. And to have a better view, and a French officer said told me off. He said, "Come out." He said, "We're neutral." Oh, it's a funny war, you know, to be neutral with nothing to do with it, you know. So anyway, when we come out, someone said, "We're going to be prisoner of war." I say, "Oh, my, prisoner of war." Yeah. Anyway, Falmouth. We went to a school and have a meal, and. Then we pass in front of a French officer. You see, he was a table, and he said, "Are you volunteer to stay with General de Gaulle?" So who said, "What sort of question, you know?" He said, "We'll go back to France." So I said. Well, most of us, even two of us who were volunteer, two young boys. So most of us, by the time it was about, I don't know, maybe 200 of us from the merchant navy. So I said, no, I said, well, go back to France, he said. He said, why? Well, we've got our family in France, you know. And some say, oh, I'm married, I've got children. So, okay, go. The same night, we got on a train from Falmouth to London and to Crystal Palace. Well, one thing I noticed, traveling on a train in this country was very nice. So we arrive at Crystal Palace between... two line of policemen, and we had our luggage search. My friend has his luggage search, and the police got a big surprise because he was full of knife. So what's all those knife? So we had to explain to him. Someone collegian who speak a bit of English. I explained the cook in the French Navy, Merchant Navy, carry all his knife. See? So, okay, so we're at Crystal Palace now. And we're now a prisoner of war. In France, we call it, someone told my mother, wrote a letter to my mother and said, Fernand is on a concentration camp in England, because that when you put together people on a camp, you are in a concentration, it is called. And he was a guard, you know, with gun. And a few days later, then we start to organize the food. Some French cook volunteered to cook. French cook volunteered to cook. And a few days later, they ask you if you want to do a little bit of cleaning, go around the camp, keep the place clean. You're going to get 5 shillings in a day, you know, and you'll be allowed to go out in the evening. So I put my name, you know, start cleaning. And which was not very nice, because we had some, on a merchant navy, we used to have a lot of Senegalese, you know, from Africa. And they stay on one big tent on their own, you know. And as they was using like the toilet and everything, then those people never stand, never sit on the toilet. So you can imagine, you know, to be. Anyway, we went out in the evening and for a walk. And my friend Eugene, he said to me, "You've been waiting to have an operation," he said. Because in North Africa, when I went to see a doctor, and he said, "Oh, you have to stay ashore for a few days." And anyway, my friend Eugene said, "You know, in this country, everything is free." See? So he said, "Well, come with me and ask the doctor if you can have an operation." So I went to see a doctor and show him the pièce de résistance. When I had a trouble, I needed a circumcision, you see. Which in France, nobody seemed to know anything about this. So doctor, he said, "Well, would you like to have an operation?" I said, "Oh, yes, please." So he signed me to Dulwich Hospital. And I was at Dulwich Hospital for about 2 weeks. And the blitz was on. One night, the bomb, it was 3 or 4 bombs around Dulwich Hospital. And people were very nice. And we used to go taking some old people in the basement. You know, wherever I went, I would try to help. And I had the operation. The menu was good at the hospital. No, it was not like a French hospital when they used to give you a slice of bread. Anyway, I come out of hospital and.
Did you have to pay?
No, didn't pay nothing. No, nothing. No.
And in France, you would have had to pay?
Oh, in France. Yeah, you pay and you get the money later. And in the hospital in France, it was nothing like this country. What I didn't understand, it was plenty trouble here. And I was welcome, you know, to go to a hospital. One after Dunkirk, it must have been a hospital, must have been full up somewhere, you know. Okay, so, in France, you had to bring food when you were. I was in hospital once, my mother would bring some food. And my father used to take him a drop of short, and I used to be searched before I got to the hospital. Anyway, I went back to Crystal Palace, and I remember a bomb drop not far away, and I saw a little, she was like a baby, and she was shouting, "Mommy, Mommy." So I looked, and I looked, it was blind, and I come out of hospital, and you know, when I went back to Crystal Palace, and meet my friend, it's a photo, meet my friend Pierre, I said to him, I'm not going back. I'm gonna stay. I'm gonna volunteer for the Merchant Navy. So he said, "Oh yeah, oh, we put our name. We go to the gate and put our, we only had to do, I want to stay with De Gaulle, put your name, give your name." And I said, "Okay, we're gonna come and get you, you know." But when they had to find out, when they had the people waiting to go back to France find out we was going to stay, they started to be bullied. You know, they say, "If you stay, if more people stay, the English will never send us back to France." Because one day an admiral Muselier came, and he said, "I ask you to stay, to carry on with the war, but if you don't want to, I put a boat at your disposal. You back to," which one was a Meknes, with a torpedo later. And one of the Crystal Palace was on the Meknes, and the boat was torpedo. Went back to France. He came back to England 6 months later. Well, anyway, our life was going to be a bit of a hope they can come to get us soon. Only the commanding officer, on Léon Martin, I want to check in with him, and he said, good, he said, he wished me luck. He came with us later as well, volunteer later. And the others say, they don't know what they're doing, you know. Okay, so we volunteer. A few days later, a lorry come, truck come to take us to Gordon Street. But as the bomb started to drop, he said to me, it was London Center was on fire. And they also dropped a few bombs on Crystal Palace, because the people waiting to go to France, they said they never drop any bomb on us, because they know where we are, you see? Anyway, Crystal Palace, it was a tower. And then they knocked the tower. I don't know if you know Crystal Palace. They knocked the tower, because when I look, I said, "Cool." I said, "We're going to Gordon Street." I said, "Tomorrow," she said, "we're going to be on a front, you know, on the center of the bombing." So we arrive at Gordon Street, and then we got mixed up with the French army. Some legionnaire coming from Narvik, you know, and then we signed for the Merchant Navy. Gordon Street one night a bomb dropped next door. It was a pub there, the bomb dropped next door, and So we had enough. So we said, "Right, tomorrow night we're gonna go with my friend Pierre. We're gonna go on the underground. We're gonna go somewhere, you know, because our life was not very good, and we'd be mixed up with a, you know, with a lot of legionnaires. And so we started to go out at night. So one night we went to a Warren Street underground, and we went right down the underground. And when the bomb was to drop, what surprised me is some people were singing. You know, in France, everybody was really miserable before 1939. You know, it's going to be a war, and it was going to be terrible. Because they used to tell people a lot of story about the First World War, where the German was an awful people, you know. What they had done to 1914-18 to babies and women. I learned that sort of thing from a small boy. And on a comic in France, used to be the story about those people. So you can imagine when I came to France, 2 million people talk to the road. See? So anyway, I got a lot of problem because I don't know how long the war's gonna last, Gordon Street was bombed, so we moved to Marylebone Road. We moved to Marylebone Road somewhere. And one day, I was called. They told me I was going to go to Middlesbrough. And not as a matelot, but as a garçon, no, Marine Nationale, we call it maître d'hôtel. So I was going to go as a garçon, and Pierre couldn't come with me. So we goodbye. He was going to, I don't know where he was going to go. So I'm on my way to, with a slice of bread, and this is what I used to give you in those days, a slice of bread and 10 sardines, and half a bottle of wine. I'm on my way to Middlesbrough.
But I thought you'd signed on for the Merchant Navy.
I signed on to the Merchant Navy, yes.
But now you're going to the...
No, not yet. No. No, I'm on the... So we went to arrive in Middlesbrough on a boat called Galois. The Galois was, we call it minotier, carry pig iron. Bringing pig iron from Canada, Halifax to Middlesbrough. So when we got on board the Galois, we find there was no food on board, and people went back to, mostly old people went back to London, never signed for De Gaulle. And when I went back to London, they still, the food was on, you know, we find there was no food on the board, I was in charge of the store, and the store had to go on my hands and knees. It was not worth, the boat was not seaworthy, you know. When I put the steam on, the steam was dripping from all over the place. And the captain also, before going to London, back to London, he was a drunk. He had a revolver on his desk. He was fighting the engineer. Anyway, cut the story short. We got the order to move from one place to another, and the people on the deck refused. It was some kind of revolt. So I had nothing to do with me. I was ready to have a go. it was terrible. There was no water, and a toilet was on a deck somewhere. never see any. Coming from Leon Martin, the tanker, where everything was clean and we had a lot of discipline, you know. But some of the new people coming from London like me, volunteers for De Gaulle, they say, oh, we're free now, and you know, and they, and then anyway, they revolted. They didn't want to come out of the cabin. So I.